DOD spends hundreds of billions of dollars for goods and services each year, and they have several approaches they might use for evaluating, say, contractors' proposals. And one is the best value trade-off process. And best value is essentially where DOD can vary the relative importance of cost or price to other factors. They might look at technical approach or past performance, and it can be a useful tool for gaining insights into a contractor's capabilities. So in such cases, DOD may award a contract to other than the lowest priced offer if it determines that the higher priced proposal provides a greater benefit to the taxpayer and the benefit's worth paying for.
So somebody may have a unique technical solution which costs a little bit more. Overall, the agency needs to determine, DOD or whomever needs to determine, hold on, is this the best thing for the government? So it really, the impetus is on government.
Yes.
And I think one of the big challenges here is, as we said, this is a more nuanced a price, easy to determine. Okay, this one's higher or lower than this one. That's very easy to do. Making this best value determination is more complex.
Yes, and under such a approach, and kind of what we found in the report is that DOD tended to use non-cost factors weighted more important than price when they're willing to accept that higher price if the contract could demonstrate that, say, they could meet a tight deadline, they had a real deep understanding of complex technical issues related to what you're buying, or, as you mentioned, they propose an innovative approach.
Yeah.
And what we found is that while DOD solicitations often indicated that non-cost factors would be significantly more important than price, our case study and analysis showed that DOD selected the lower price proposals almost as often as it selected a higher technically rated but more costly proposal.
Are there areas where you use best value more? I mean, if you're buying paper, guess what? Paper is pretty much paper, and so unless, or other examples, a lot of commodities, you often will look at best value unless you have a reason to. You'll look at best price unless there's a reason to otherwise. This seems more in the services and more of the systems kinds of realms. Is that correct?
Yes, that's where you'll see the best value trade-off tend to be more in the areas where, say, the requirements are perhaps a little less defined or they are much more technical, and you really want to get some insights into what types of solutions are out there and what the contractor might be able to provide to meet the requirements.
And did you get a sense, you looked at DOD, how are they using best value? Are they using it effectively?
Good question. One of the first things we thought was pretty interesting is just even getting our hands around to what extent DOD uses a best value trade-off process. And through our analysis of federal procurement data and case studies, we found that about 95% of the procurements that were awarded in 2009, and these are new procurements, 25 million or greater, about 95% used a best value approach. Now, within that, though, 69% used this best value trade-off process that we're talking about. So that was one thing, because we really didn't have a good sense of how much DOD is actually using it. But I think the more significant thing is when we went and looked at the case studies, and we found that of 68 of the 129 we reviewed that used the best value trade-off, in which a price differential was considered, you know, we found that about 29 cases, the offer might have had the lowest price and the highest non-cost factor, and they went with that guy. But the 21 cases we found is where they actually paid a price differential. And the ranges that they paid were from, you know, less than 5% to greater than 20%. But just to give you a good example, we found one case where the very largest price differential was paid. It was like 48%. It was, in fact, where the service, one of the DOD services, paid about $13 million more for an item that provided much greater burn protection for clothing to be worn by soldiers in Iraq. So there's an example where they were willing to make that trade-off and pay a little more, but they were getting what they thought was a product that provided greater protection.
And you were able to justify why you did it, and that sometimes becomes a difficult thing because people will come back, okay, why did you pay more?
Yeah, these are judgments. And it requires a lot of business acumen, I think, by the government acquisition people. But there's, you know, they want to look and try to get the best value for the taxpayer. The other thing is, though, we found cases where they didn't end up paying a price differential, even in cases where maybe the lower price. It's actually a case where the lower price outweighed the benefits of the offers with higher technical ratings. They just didn't feel like it was worth that extra money for the technical improvement.
What?
And we found that they ended up not paying over $800 million in price differentials.
One of the more interesting parts of the of your report is that you talk about some of the challenges, and there are real challenges. One of them is just, hold on, what do we measure then?
Yes, that's true. You know, we noted in report that, you know, while applying the trade-off process, you know, it doesn't guarantee a successful acquisition. It really lays a foundation, hopefully, for one that is successful. But it does have challenges. And one is, in fact, the difficulties in developing, you know, the meaningful evaluation factors. You don't want too many of them. You want them really hitting on the most key things that you want to try to have for, you know, a good outcome for your acquisition. It also takes additional time to conduct these best value procurements is what we found. It could range from, you know, a year up to 2 years, depending on what the item is, how complex it is. But as I mentioned earlier, it takes a lot of business judgment.
Yeah. Part of your recommendations is to have a training process and constantly reinforce this.
That's right. One of the things we found when we were doing our case studies and talking to various DOD and military acquisition folks, we found that one area that they felt they could use was a little more training to assist them in deciding whether or not a price differential is warranted when making these trade-off decisions. So we had a recommendation that we directed at DOD that for them to more effectively employ this process and hopefully get even better outcomes, that they work with the Defense Acquisition University to develop some training elements and case studies and scenarios and things like that for how to reach a trade-off decision. But, you know, these are all case by case, but yeah, it really requires good insight and experience.
And as I was reading it, I was thinking, oh my goodness, what a great place to share those lessons learned of what works and what hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
What a remarkable place to do that. And actually, I'm going to selfishly plug our Federal News Radio Book Club book, which talks about how you learn. And a lot of that learning takes place outside of formal classrooms. And my goodness, what a powerful opportunity to share those lessons in really innovative ways. There are a lot of ways to do that. So that's my own plug. Any other recommendations to DOD?
That was the key recommendation, and we were pleased that DOD concurred, and what they're going to do is they have this panel on contracting integrity. Mm. It's comprised of the senior DOD leaders to work with DAU in developing these case studies and scenarios, and hopefully over time, and as you know, we have a increased number of newer folks coming into the acquisition workforce on the DOD side. So this type of experience being transferred to the new people, I think, would be a really good thing too.